How you doing? I'm Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. Hey, Kevin. Sober by the grace of God and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I don't have to suffer from alcoholism today, and it's a true blessing and a miracle at that, you know. I'm here to speak on steps 1, 2, and 3. I say, you know, I'm an alcoholic, and for a long time, I had no clue what that meant at all. You know, I said for the first time I was an alcoholic when I was 17 years old, and I realized I was drinking, shot after shot after shot after shot, and my friend was not keeping up, and he looked at me all weird, and I was like, oh, I think I'm an alcoholic, dude. And then I was just like, yeah, and then I just went back to drinking. That's what it was, you know. An alcoholic was, you know, like just a guy who drank too much, and then eventually he stopped, you know. He got like a wife, or he got like a girlfriend, or a kid, or whatever, or a good job. And then he stopped, right? Because there was no way I was going to end up on the street. I wasn't going to drink out of brown paper bags, and I wasn't going to do all that stuff because I was smarter than that. That's what I thought, you know. I thought I could just think my way out of anything and everything, you know. If I couldn't, you know, figure it out on my own, then it just must not be possible, you know. But no, I come here and I share and I raise my hand. And even in AA for a couple of years, I had no clue what it meant to be alcoholic. Absolutely no clue. You know, and it's not anybody's fault but my own, because I was too thick-headed, and I had a plan, and I had an idea, and I didn't want to listen to anybody. You know? But I am an alcoholic, and that means a few certain things that I have, and without a doubt, I have this. You know, step one took years. You know, step one I worked at for years. You know, I was 12 years old. I remember hanging out with the fellas. It was New Year's Eve. I had this thing going on inside of me that I had my whole life that I thought everybody else had. This feeling in my stomach that, like, I was afraid of what you thought about me. I was afraid of what I said yesterday and what I'm going to say tomorrow and who I'm going to hang out with on this night and who I'm going to be dating and where I'm going to be. And if I'm not doing the coolest thing and everybody looks up to me, it's not all right. And I had that, like, in here. And then I had this loud chatter in my head on how I could, like, overcome all these things. You know, I remember being a little kid, and I would like make things up, like hear like other people like say like they had like mental illness, and like I would say like, yeah, I have that, and like, you know, I used to tell people, yeah, I had like voices in my head, and I would make things up because I knew something was like seriously wrong inside, but like I had no idea what it was. Like something was wrong, but like you couldn't see it. And I couldn't describe to you what it was, but, like, it was in here, and it hurt. But it didn't really hurt. Like, you know, it's not like I like, broke my arm or this and that. At least if you broke your arm, you know it's broken. Like, there was something in here that just was not right from the get-go. And I was 12 years old, and I was hanging out with the boys, and it was New Year's Eve, and the older kids came down to me, and he had a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I had gone to Dare, and I knew Smokey the Bear, and I knew, you know, drugs were bad, and alcohol was, you know, bad, and you got to wait till you're 21, and I was down with that. I went to health class. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to, yeah, this and that, this and that. Awesome. And he said, hey, man, you want a drink? Now, at this point, I had seen my family drink, and they seemed to have a good time. They seemed to be able to let loose. They were sociable, and it looked like a great time. So for whatever reason, when I was 12 years old, you know, 9 times out of 10, I would have said no. But for whatever reason, I said yeah. Right? I mixed Jack Daniels into a cup of Coca-Cola. I took a sip, and the most amazing thing ever happened to me. I'm not going to lie. Like it was it. That was it. I wanted to do that for the rest of my life. The sense of ease and comfort that I got from that first drink was remarkable and miraculous. And that thing inside of me that hurt but didn't really hurt and like just was there just went away. And I was able to talk to you. I didn't really care about you anymore. I wanted to hang out with you, and I was talking to the girls, and life was just like there. I was in the moment, and it was awesome. And like, I'll never forget that. There's only a few dates in my life that I ever remember, and one of them is the first drink I ever took, because it was that important to me. Like, I heard some guy say it once. Like he took his like first drink at 16. He should have taken it at 10. Like, yeah, like I should have took this like when I was like 6 years old, and I would have, you know, been probably made it here even earlier. You know. That's just how it is, you know. And I never forgot that night. And I just went back to my regular life. And when Monday came around after the weekend, I had a story to tell everybody. And I drank and this and that. Like, nothing bad happened. I didn't black out. I didn't throw up. My parents didn't catch me. I didn't get arrested. I didn't go to jail. Absolutely nothing bad happened to me. But this feeling just went away. You know. And I never forgot that. I always knew that if I ever felt like at this jumping off place again, I could drink and it would go away, and I'd have some relief for momentarily, you know. And I went back to my life. I was in constant fear all the time. So fear propelled me to do well in school. Fear propelled me to do well in sports. I was just afraid of what you thought and letting you down. And if I didn't try my hardest, you were going to talk about me behind your back. And this and that and this and that. And I was just really afraid of, like, letting everybody down. So I worked really, really hard at school. I didn't give a crap about school. Still to this day, I have a hard time caring about school. I know it's important, but whatever. But, like I did good in school because I didn't want my mom to have, like, a kid who, like, got Fs all the time. You know, I did good in sports because, like, I liked people saying, you're really good at this. And I liked that. And if they said, you suck at this, I hated that. You know, so like years went on and I didn't drink or anything for a couple years. And then all of a sudden, like, this fear stopped working. Like, I couldn't rely on myself to do well anymore. And it just stopped working. And like, I just, like it says in the big book, we build up this bright outlook, you know, not only with like sobriety, with like everything I do, I build up a bright outlook. Right. And then what happens? It just comes to the day where I'm like, I can't take this anymore. And then I just quit. You know, and that's what happened. And one day I quit sports. The next day I said, screw school. The next day I, like, stopped hanging out with all the good kids. And then I found, like, the kids that did the things that I wanted to do. And, like, in one day my life, like, transformed. And I was drinking and smoking cigarettes and hanging out in the corner and, you know, doing this and doing that. And, like, it was back. Like, that feeling, like, of the alcohol was back. And it was great, you know. I started out drinking Friday night. Somewhere along the night, I realized that if I drank Friday night, it's probably going to be good Saturday night too. And then Saturday night, if it's good, it's got to be good Sunday morning. You know, and if it's good Sunday morning, it's good all day Sunday. You know, and progression for me, for whatever reason, just like took off like no other. Right away, I started drinking. You know, if drinking after school was good, drinking before school was just as good, and drinking during school was even better because I couldn't put up with these teachers, man, you know. And that's what I did for a while, for all of high school. And I just got by because, like, I was, like, a nice kid, and, like, I would, like, be nice to your face, but then, like, turn around and talk crap behind your back and, like, really, like, just be nice so I could get by. And, you know, I came to a point where school wasn't working out anymore. I couldn't stop drinking. My parents were kind of pissed off at me because I was just this different person, and I realized that Long Island is my problem and I need to get out of here. So I went as far as I could. I went all the way out to Arizona to college there, and I figured, you know, nice weather, girls walking around in bikinis, like, I'm down with that, you know. And I thought, like, I just needed to get rid of my friends and get away from here, and then I'll be fine, you know. So I went there, and the same thing happened, the same thing, you know, the same exact thing. But, you know, like, what are we talking about here? But, like, you know, like, I didn't understand, like this whole step one until I really wanted to stop. You know, until, like, I realized that alcohol was a serious problem in my life and that, like, I didn't want to do it anymore. You know, like, I have this, like, phenomenon of craving that once I start, it's virtually impossible for me to stop, right? The book talks about it. It means that, like, I have an abnormal reaction to liquor. That when I put it into my body, something happens that it's impossible for me to stop. And I can't do anything about that. I still have it today, but it doesn't matter because I don't drink. You know, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And how did I see that? Because my friends would drink, like, half a bottle. I'd drink the other half myself. And I'd be the one driving, and they'd be in the back, like, puking, you know? Like, how else? I don't know. Like, I'd go to the bar and say, I'm only going to have 4 beers tonight. And then all of a sudden, I'd run into somebody here and then have another drink. And then I'd run into somebody and we're drinking tequila. And then we're playing, you know, we're going to the other bar. And all of a sudden, like, I'm broke and, like, piss drunk. And it's, like, the next morning again. Like, I just went. to drink four beers. Like, why is it, you know, like 5 o'clock in the morning and like I can't even put my key in the door like to get into my house. Like, how does that happen? And like, how else it is? It would be like 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And like, I'd go out and buy like a 36 pack of beer, already pissed drunk. Like, I'd drink all night and get like a 36 pack of beer. Being like, oh yeah, I need all this. Like, I need all this for tonight. You know, like, I craved it so bad. My mouth used to salivate while the lady was pouring another shot. Like, so badly. And I truly believed that I needed all that beer. You know? And how did I stop? Whenever I stopped drinking, it was either because I got arrested, because I ran out of money, because I was around family. There was like two times in my life I actually had like two beers. It was when I was with my family, and another time I was with like a girlfriend. You know, and that's the only time I didn't get completely wasted, you know. But the only times I stopped is when I ran out of booze, ran out of money, got arrested, or ended up in detox again. Like that's how I would stop. And like, you know, that's the phenomenon of craving. I also have this thing, you know, where it's like the mental twist, this obsession of the mind. This thing where, like, when I'm not drinking, all I do is think about how I can drink and how I can get away with it and how you're not going to find out and how I could just get as drunk as I can without anybody knowing, you know, or, like, how it's going to work this time. Like, I'm just going to, like, all right, I'm going to, like, start off with, like, a few beers, have a few shots, go back to beer and do this. And, like, this was, like, constantly on my mind all the time. And then other times I would be like, yeah, never drinking again. Yeah, like, oh, all right, let's go. And then, like, just walk straight into the bar and, like, yeah, drinking, I guess. Like, how did that happen? You know, like, that's like, this, like, mental twist that I have, you know. And where is that, like, prevalent in my life? I had been on, like, a crazy drinking binge for, like, months. And like, I mean, every day, all day long. And I went out with the girl I was dating at the time, and I always thought there was something wrong with the lights in the club, but like, because every time I walk into a club, I black out and never remember what the inside of the club looks like. And I was like, it's the lights. I know it is. You know, it must be the music. But it wasn't like the two pints of vodka that I guzzled down on the way there. It was the lights, you know. But like, whatever. Like, I went out and like, apparently I blacked out and I tried to fight every bouncer there. I pushed the girl I was dating at the time, and she fell, and I didn't know I was doing this, and I said some very nasty things to her, and you know, I woke up the next day, and I kind of knew what I did, and I remember my mother sitting at the bed of the foot of my bed, and I told her I can't stop once I start. I can't, you know. I told her that I think I'm an alcoholic, you know. So like the good parents they are, the great parents they are, actually, you know, they sent me to detox, for like the fifth time, you know, again, I go to detox and I'm in there for 4 days and I get out and I have no liquor in my body at all. No phenomenon of craving, no liquor whatsoever in my system. And it's New Year's Eve. And I made arrangements to go to a New Year's Eve party. And I go to the barbershop to get a haircut. And what do you know, the guy says, hey man, it's New Year's Eve, you want a shot? And I just got out of detox. Like, I literally just got out of detox, like 2 hours before that. And I said, no, dude, no, I can't. No. And then 20 minutes, 30 minutes goes by, he's cutting my hair. And I go, hey, think I can get a shot, dude, you know, and I take that shot, and then, you know, phenomenon of craving kicks in. Think I get another shot, man? Yeah, you get another shot. You know, I leave there, go out, start guzzling vodka behind, you know, my girlfriend's back that I was with at the time, and next thing you know, I'm, like, absolutely wasted, driving 110 miles an hour on the LIE in her car. Like, that's what happens to me. Like, I left detox, like, 8 hours before that. The most horrendous thing happened to me in my life. I was completely humiliated. I was ashamed to be who I was. Like, I hated myself for that. And that was something I told myself I would never, ever, ever do. And somehow, I just completely forgot about it. And just took a shot like nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. you know, and like that lasted for a lot longer too, you know, that it didn't stop there, you know, and that's prevalent all throughout my life, like things like that, you know, such a desire to stop, and I couldn't, I wanted to so bad. And then when I couldn't, I figured, oh, I just must not want to that. You know, I just must not want to enough. You know, but that's not the case. I have no choice. I have no choice. Like, that's why, like, I always thought the first step meant, like, I can't drink safely. It doesn't mean that to me. It means that, no, you are absolutely going to go to the barbershop again. The guy's going to ask you for another drink, if you want another drink, and I'm going to take it. Even if I don't want to. I was there, and it was like, no, 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 no. Drink? Okay. Okay. And then, like, I'm off. And I have no clue when I'm going to stop. Like, the best scenario is that, like, I end up in detox. Like, that's the best I get, man. And, like, that's, like, you know, that's not the only time that's ever happened to me. It happened to me every single day for, like, a year and a half. I'd wake up every day and be like, oh, my, what did I do last night? I can't believe I did this again. You know, and then, you know, 3 o'clock comes around, and you're like, eh. Wasn't that bad, you know, or screw it. Not even that. Like, sometimes it was like, my life just sucks so much, and I'm so miserable, and I just can't stop thinking about jumping out the window, so I might as well drink. You know, like, this is alcoholism. This is what I have. So, like, this is no joke, man. Like, it's no joke at all. And somewhere along the line, I realized, like, this stuff has to stop, man. I was 21 at the time. I couldn't drink. I realized I couldn't drink like other people. I knew I was different, and I still couldn't do anything about it. So I started going to AA, and like I would get like 2 days drink, like 3 days drink, like a week then drink, and then like I started hanging out with people from AA, and like I was drinking and hanging out with them, which doesn't work out too well. And, like, everything just completely fell apart. Everything. Everything fell apart. And I was standing outside my house one day, like this. Because, like, my life was ruined. Like, I had nothing, like, you know. I was standing outside my house when they were walking back and forth because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know if I should go inside the house or stay outside or whatever. And then, like, I had, like, this, like, huge, like, epiphany that, like, wait. Because, like, I knew this kid for a while, this kid named Ryan. He helped me out tremendously throughout my life and still does to this day. He always smiled, and he was sober, and I hated him for it. I absolutely freaking, he had white teeth, they were nice, and he had, like, money in his pocket. He had, like, really nice clothes on, and he had, you know, everybody liked him, and I freaking hated him so much. Because he was sober, and he was smiling, and I'm walking back and forth, and I'm like, oh, what the hell, why is this kid like that, and I'm like this, and why does, oh, I hate this, and then I was like, oh, wait, he went through these steps, he went to AA, and like, went, and like, did what AA told him to do, and like, I was like, could it be possible that like, if I go to AA and do everything they told me to do, I'll be able to smile like him, and like, right in that one moment, I believed in something greater than myself could take this problem from me and remove it right there. And 2 days later, that wasn't enough to stop me then, but 2 days later, I got shipped off to rehab. And I stayed there for 2 months, and I got a big book. And for whatever reason, like I used the big book as a coaster before this, but like, for whatever reason, I don't know why, like, I truly believe God separated me from alcohol because like, I sat in that rehab every single day reading every single story in the back of the big book. I had no idea what it was talking about, but I was going to understand what the hell they were talking about. And I went to rehab and I was like, listen, I feel like this. I'm an alcoholic. I can't drink anymore. I'm screwed. I don't want to do this stuff anymore. Help me. Please help me. Like, I can't do this anymore because I can't go on living like this because I'm going to kill myself. Like, I really am. And they suggested I go to another rehab after that. So I went to this other rehab. And again, everybody else would be hanging out, playing frisbee, like softball, whatever. And I'd be in this room reading this big book every single day because I knew that there was some sort of an answer in there. Then I needed it. I needed it so bad because I needed to be sober. I needed to be happy.
Because I just could not go on living the way I was, you know? And from that moment on, from there on, people have been just placed into my life that I need, you know? Like, my life has been directed by something way more powerful than me, God. You know, like the people I met, I got out of rehab. The first meeting I went to, Paulie was doing a big book study in Seaford. And I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? But it sounds awesome. Like, I need me some of that, you know? And, like, he was doing that. And then, like 3 days later, like, I met this kid who was, like, really good friends with friends that I was, and he was walking around with a big book, and he sat down and read every single freaking line in the big book, you know? And, like, and that, you know, and that's, you know, and the rest is just history. Like, people just, you know, but, like, you know, what does, like, step two really mean? Like, what is, why? Why should I believe in this power? You know, what is it going to do for me? You know, where has it been? You know, and those are questions that, like, I had the help of sponsors, but I really had to dig deep and, like, kind of, like, find within myself, you know, why should I believe in this higher power? Well, basically, because I did a really good step one, you know, step one literally, like, propelled me into step two. And at one point, it was just the guy sitting on the other side of the table reading this book, because he believed in something, so I believed in something. That there's something out there that has to, like, help me. If it's helping you, and you used to drink just like me, and you don't anymore, there's got to be something that can help me too. There's got to be. And that's all it took, that little tiny bit, a little bit. In that very moment, I believed that there is something that could help me. And that's it, you know. And then I read a line in We Agnostics. It's like crazy, but when you really think about it, it's so true that, like, it's basically impossible to live a life without faith. You can't live a life without faith unless if you just sit there and do absolutely nothing. That's what I believe. You know, a life that originated out of nothing, moving nowhere, ending in nothing, whatever it is, like, that's impossible, I think. You know, so I was living by faith my whole life. I had every amount of faith, all the faith in the world in that bottle, that when I was going to put it to my lips and take a sip, that internal thing was going to go away. And I believed that before I even picked up the bottle. So why would I not believe that maybe going through the rest of these steps, I would be able to live happy and sober and be of use to other people? Why not? Why not? That's what it was. Like, step two was really, like, why not to me? And I was told that I didn't have to be able to describe God. I didn't have to really, like, know him. All I had to do was start to seek. And in the seeking is the power, you know? I haven't found God yet. I hope I never do. You know, like, but I just continue to seek. I just seek and seek. And somehow, I just go through life. And life just, like, moves around me. And, like, I'm just, like, you know, I just wake up in the morning and do whatever is in front of me. And I guess that's what God's will is, you know. And the second, you know, the second step propelled me into the third step, which was, you know, we turn our will and our lives, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Like, I never really thought well. I've done this step, like, 3-4 times since I've been sober. And, like, I never, up until this last time, I never thought well about it. It says we thought well about it before we made this decision so we could at last abandon ourselves to him. Like, so I sat. I was like, what does it really mean to turn my will and my life over to the care of God? Like, what are the alternatives? Yeah, in the book they say die a spiritual death or pick up these, whatever, live a spiritual life, you know. But, like, what does it really mean for Kevin? What does it mean for Kevin to turn his will and his life over to the care of God? And I sat and I thought about this. And I, like an alcoholic, I weighed the options. That's crazy, first of all. But I weighed the options. Because this most recent, I hadn't been drinking, you know, in over 19 months. But, like, you know. So why should I turn my will and my life over to the care of God? You know, like, see, like, I question these things constantly because I need to. You know, that's how my mind works, you know. And in questioning these things, I find more answers and less and more reason to believe, you know. So I sat there and I thought about this. And one option was not turn my will and my life over to the care of God completely and live a miserable existence and eventually drink again and probably die, you know. But it'll probably be some fun times along the way, I'm not going to lie, you know. Maybe one or two. Or I could turn my will and my life over to the care of God have no idea what my life is going to look like, but I'll have a smile on my face, everything I need, and I'll be sober. And I sat there and I weighed these options, you know, because I wanted to really abandon myself totally to him. And I chose to, you know, turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And the next thing I was told to do was go through 4 through 9. See, in the beginning, yeah, it was, the third step was to just do a fourth step. But, like, now, like, it's more. It's more of my life. Because in the beginning, the difficulties that they talk about in the prayer was alcohol. But today, it's self. Today, the difficulties are myself. It's like fear, and it's pride, and it's all these things that I don't like to admit, you know. So like it's hard to like stay, but like my third step looks something like this. God, you're in the driver's seat, you know. You're in control. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just show me where to go and who to be, and just take away my difficulties, and I trust in you. You know, that's what it looks like for me today. It's simple, you know, but, you know, that's where the real work starts to begin, you know. The freedom I got in the third step was amazing. All of a sudden, I started to lose fear of tomorrow and resentment of yesterday, but I had to keep moving forward. I was at a crucial point in the steps, and if I didn't keep going, I was warned I would probably drink again, invariably, or whatever it says. And I knew that, and that self-knowledge, you know, and that little bit of an experience that I started to have was enough to just propel me forward. You know, today I was sitting in school. I had like this crazy experience today, and actually I was walking in school and I saw this girl like struggling to like, you know, put a sign up, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, I stopped and I asked her if she needed some help, and I only like planned on like picking something up for her, but I ended up like taping the thing together and whatever, and like I just said, yeah, no problem, and I kept walking, and I went and sat down in the cafeteria. I got a sandwich and I was sitting down in the cafeteria, and I was thinking about what I had done, you know, and I was like, I just helped somebody for nothing in return. Like, I didn't even ask for her number or anything. But all seriousness, I sat there and I was like shocked. And like I just all of a sudden that hole that I was talking about just got filled up like never before. And I sat in the cafeteria with about 300 other college kids. I was sitting by myself, and my eyes just filled up with water. I don't even really want to, but no, like, I felt the presence of God, and the room, I swear to God, shifted in a way that I never saw people before in my life, and this happened today, you know. That's what happens here. This is what happens. Like, this is not about staying sober and miserable and going to as many meetings as you want. This is not about struggling through sobriety or struggling through life. This is about looking at the world with a new pair of glasses at a new angle and seeing the beauty in things rather than the misery that I used to see. That's what happens here. You know, we get propelled through life, and the power of God is within all of us, and it's just there waiting to be used. You know? That's all I got. Thank you for letting me share.